Hello and welcome to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee, on YouTube and all other social platforms.
And I'm Paul. This is so much more than a podcast, Lee. It's an audio film, a documentary about life, including the nomad lifestyle that's sweeping America.
Hey friends, we have a fabulous, fun episode for you tonight.
So let's get started. Hey Lee, you're awful quiet right now. That's not like you. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
Oh my gosh, I hope not. Cat got your tongue. We looked up some sayings and what the meanings are. And the cat got your tongue means something said when a person is at a loss for words. But the history of cat got your tongue is very morbid. There are two possible sources for this common short saying. The first one refers to the cat of nine tails, a whip used by the English Navy for flogging. The whip caused so much pain, ouch, that the victims were left speechless. And then the second refers to the practice of cutting out tongues of liars and blasphemers and feeding them to cats.
That's kind of gross.
It really is. I think people ought to appreciate our society now that we don't do stuff like that, per se, in most areas.
Well, I tell you what, people talk about the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, the good old days weren't so good. But I found something that was kind of good.
What?
Have you heard of the rule of thumb?
Oh, no.
The rule of thumb. Well, I mean, just to show you that they were pretty rough back then, but they did have a little bit of kindness because in the 17th century, there was a judge that ruled it was permissible for a husband to beat his wife with a stick, that the stick could not be any wider than the man's thumb.
Yeah.
So that's how the rule of thumb got started.
Right.
Not very nice, but
no, it wasn't. And the good old, you're right, on the good old days. I think the good old days are now.
Well, I would agree
with that.
People
seem to be, I mean, everywhere you go, there's these signs that says, be kind. Be kind. Yeah. And I want to mention to y'all that we're nomads, and we are parked in a beautiful beach town. But it's a little bit of rush hour traffic going on right now, isn't there?
Yeah, we can't quite avoid that. That's the problem that nomads have to put up with when they do their podcasts or their videos or whatever. There's going to be a little bit of traffic noise now and then, folks, so we apologize for that ahead of time.
Yeah, this is our studio. Wherever we are, this is our studio.
That's right.
Well, what about, Paul, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Have you ever heard that one?
Oh, I have, yeah. What's that all about?
Well, the meaning is hang on to valuable things when getting rid of unnecessary things. But the history of it is, during the 1500s, most people bathed once a year. Wow. Even when they did bathe, the entire family used the same tub full of water. I bet they did it in the summer, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The man in the house bathed first, followed by all the other males, then females, and finally the babies. You can imagine how thick and cloudy the water became by that time. So the infants' mothers had to take care not to throw them out with the bathwater when they emptied the tub. Now, Paul and I both thought of this. Why was the baby under the water? I mean, really, yeah.
It's interesting how these things came about. But,
right. But I do want to mention that I remember my mother grew up on a farm, and they bathed once a week.
Right.
And they all used the same water because they had to bring in well water because they lived out in the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that just goes to show you, you know, nomads might bathe more often than that. So crying out loud, we're doing good.
Well, yeah, that once a year thing, yeah. Well, we'll have to do an actual episode just about cleaning and how nomads, all the different methods of staying clean.
Well, I've read that there's a big debate going on right now between Hollywood, some Hollywood people and dermatologists and what have you, that a lot of these people say, we shower and bathe too much. We're taking the good stuff off of our skin that is helpful.
Yes.
And removing it with a hot shower or two or three every day. Well, that's way overboard.
Well, what we're doing is we're stripping off our oils, natural oils. And we're also, they said, I read an article, we're killing good germs, good bugs, good microbes off of our body.
There you go.
I know. So, and some of these microbes help prevent skin cancer. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow.
Microbes helping us prevent skin cancer. So taking a shower every day, a hot shower, and some people do it twice a day. So it's a lot. So what other things do you...
Well, have you heard of the saying, Saved by the Bell?
I have. There was a show, Saved by the Bell.
I think on
Nickelodeon. No, I think it was a regular program. Saved by the Bell. I remember the actors on it. Yes.
Okay. I don't recall ever seeing that one.
But oh, yeah.
You know how that one started?
How?
Well, back many, many years ago, even though this sounds pretty scary, but sometimes people would be buried. They were thought to be dead. And they'd be buried and they were still alive.
Oh.
Well, some people that were worried about that, buy a special coffin that had a rope or a string that went up through the ground, through the earth, and it was attached to a bell. So when they woke up or whatever, they could ring the, you know, pull the rope, and the people at the cemetery would hear that bell ringing and go try to dig them up and save them. Isn't that crazy?
Now, do you think they could have made it in time before he lost air?
Well, there's probably a lot of air in that coffin. All depends how soon he woke up, I guess.
Okay.
He or she.
This almost sounds like a Halloween episode, doesn't it?
It does. Well, how fitting, you know.
I know.
October is just around the corner.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's interesting. I like that one. Yeah. I'm surprised you never saw that show. Well, actually, I'm not surprised that you haven't seen that show. But I will mention that I do mention movies. And I said, it's become a joke. Have you seen that movie? And he just looks at me like, nope. No, I haven't seen that movie.
So. Lee has seen more movies than anyone I have ever run into.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
She is a movie buff. She can tell you who the starring actors were and the storyline and about when it was made. And oh my gosh, it's amazing.
I think a lot of people could, but Paul seems to think I have a photographic memory. So we'll keep him thinking all of that. Yeah. Well, what about breaking the ice? Let's break the ice on this one.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Well, it means to commence a project or initiate a friendship. Ooh, let's break the ice. So before the days of trains or cars, port cities that thrived on trade suffered during the winter because frozen rivers prevented commercial ships from entering the city. Small ships known as icebreakers would rescue the ice-bound ships by breaking the ice and creating a path for them to follow. Before any type of business arrangement today, it is now customary to break the ice before beginning a project.
Makes perfectly
good
sense.
That's pretty cool. That's a little bit more low-key kind of, So it's fun, all these different things. How many times have we talked and we said, well, where did that come from? I know when we're with our group of friends and somebody will say something, where did that saying come from?
Right.
And my mother, she had all these things. She would say, my mother said, and I would hear all these things. So
right.
It was kind of fun, yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you head off to your van in the evening, I might say something like, sleep tight. You know where that came from?
I will let you tell us. Because I read it, yeah.
Well, during Shakespeare's time, mattresses were secured to the bed frame by ropes. And, the rope went through the side of the bed frame. And if you wanted a good night in a hard mattress, you'd tighten those ropes so that the mattress wasn't all lumpy and rolling around and what have you. It'd be a lot more comfortable. So that's where the term sleep tight. I hope your ropes are tight on your bed. That's where that one came from.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing about our sayings here.
Yeah, that's only a few of them. You all are well aware, there's lots of different sayings, and it's sometimes fun and amazing to find out where they came from.
And what we did was we just looked them up online.
Yeah.
So next time you have a saying or you hear one, say, where did that come from? And go look it up. Well, Paul, we spent some time in San Francisco. It wasn't that long ago. We're now on a beach town. But that was interesting being in San Francisco, wasn't it?
It was. San Francisco is such a cool city. And I mean that literally.
It was cool. And we got a break from any heat in San Francisco. It has great energy there.
Well, we parked at, what was that called again? Chrissy's Field, East Beach.
Yes.
I think it was. And in front of us were just dozens and dozens and dozens of people running and walking and biking. And I mean, there was so much energy in that town. It was amazing.
Yes. Well, how did Abby do in San Francisco?
Not well at all. I don't know if we've been trying to teach Abby to heal, amongst other things, and she just, well, I didn't say that. There's a ton of dogs. Lots and lots of people bring their dogs. I want to say 1/3 of the people had their dog on a leash. The rest of them did not have their dog on a leash. And of course, dogs like to go up to each other and check each other out. And I don't know what they're whispering or whatever, but she just seemed to be totally not herself. She was just discombobulated. And
she didn't walk beside us. She was dragging. I was wondering if there was so much energy in San Francisco that possibly she was feeling way too much energy from San Francisco.
Well, it could very well be. I can't disagree with that, because it was I was totally impressed with the fitness craze that seems to have grasped San Francisco. It's great. Good for them.
Yeah. Well, then I went to the pier, and I walked all the way to the pier, and that's where I saw that everybody was, there was a hill going down the pier, then to the pier. They went around on the pier, which is a historical pier, did a turnaround, and then ran back. And I thought, this is where they're all running to, and now they're running back, and they had to run up the hill. I was very impressed with the physical condition of the people that ran in San Francisco. And there were quite a few, young and old, riding bikes too, riding up these huge steep hills with not breaking a sweat and not having to stop and get off.
It was amazing. And maybe if you're a local resident, you're just used to those hills, because they're all over the city. The city is built on a bunch of hilltops and hill bottoms. And people are just used to, if they want to walk from one place to another or get from one place to another, they've got to get up and down those hills.
That's what I was thinking. That's why they're so physically fit. They have had to live with this. And I think that energy begets energy. So one person's running, then more want to run. And at this point in the area we were in, there were a lot of runners, walkers, bikers. Oh, and then I saw, looking down into the bay, under piers, I saw some swimmers. And it freaked me out seeing that. I thought, oh my gosh. Just swimming in the water, and I could see Alcatraz off to the side. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought there was there were all these huge currents that, you know. But, and he was swimming under the pier. Well, for me, that would, that would freak me out.
Folks, you've got to understand, Lee has a kind of a aversion to those big fish called sharks.
Yeah.
She wouldn't swim in that water for all the tea in China.
And I certainly wouldn't go under piers. And then there would be boats going by, huge shipping boats with cargo on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are very brave in San Francisco. That's all I gotta say. So,
well, I saw a group of more than one group, small groups, you know, less 10 people or less of women,
yeah,
who would come out there. And I mean, we're talking 58-60 degrees here, and they jump in that bay and do their swimming and go around the buoy or whatever. I don't know, but man, I'm just sitting there and wearing two sweatshirts and a t-shirt. Well, Lee, you have some YouTube videos on San Francisco that just show how many people are running around and getting their exercise. It's fantastic.
I do. And I also, when I first went to San Francisco before you came out here, I have a really cool video about, and it features all the bridges. I was getting lost. I was going across bridges. I was filming them. So I have a lot and good music videos on the bridges. So I do want to mention to y'all that I do have a YouTube channel. Search for Minivan Lee if you haven't already. I know a lot of you, my friends out there, you're listening to this and you follow all my videos. But if you haven't, please subscribe. Hit the notification bell. It's a bell, not a button. And then you'll be notified every time there's a new video. I am changing my schedule for y'all that are listening to this and you are subscribed. Changing my schedule to Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday when I put up my videos. So, yeah, I've got some really good videos on San Francisco.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I encourage you to go check it out.
You won't be disappointed, that's for sure. Well, Lee, we talked about how cold it was or cool in San Francisco, but that's right on the coast, as you folks know, and most of the rest of the country were sizzling hot, and it might be good for us to talk about how does a nomad keep cool when it's 85, 90 degrees outside?
Right. I mean, summertime is a time when nomads scatter. They might go back to their home, their families, they go visit them. And then they've got to decide, well, how am I going to stay cool? Where am I going to go? And we have friends, you know, very close friends and nomads. And it was funny how everybody went home and then everybody started scattering, like, not panicking, but going, oh my gosh, we've got to find some cool spots. Now, when they did go up to higher elevation, they found that they could not be there, especially in Flagstaff, where it was going to be cool, because there was fires going on, and so not only did they have heat, but they had smoke everywhere.
Yeah, it was tough. I experienced some of that in Reno, and the smoke just filled the air and burned my eyes. It was tough.
Couldn't see the mountains.
Right.
Literally, and they were right there in front of us.
So what are some of the ways that you escape the heat? How do you offset it?
Well, my main way that I did it this year was I started my California tour. I said, I'm leaving the heat, I'm leaving the smoke, and I went to the coast where the coastline was, because I knew that the wind was going to, from the ocean, was going to blow everything. And so I really did. After Reno, I had a really good summer. But that was my main way this summer of beating the heat. And many other ways. And I'll let you tell us one of the ways that you stayed cool this summer.
Well, one of the things I did, I went up to northern Michigan, up to the Upper Peninsula.
Now, this was before you came out west.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, and I'm what they call a boat nerd.
Okay.
I love to watch the freighters and so forth. And Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan is right on the St. Mary's River, and that's where the locks are that the boats have to go through from going from Lake Huron to Lake Superior. I thought I would find cooler weather up there, but it was just as hot in Sault Ste. Marie as it was in Detroit, for crying out loud.
Wow.
Well, it was close anyway.
Okay.
It wasn't a cool spot to be, that's for sure.
So how'd you keep cool while you were there? Because you were there for a while.
Well, I have screens that I put over my windows on my van so that I can keep the insects out and let the cool air in, roll my window down. That helped, and I've got a couple of fans in my van that moves the air, and that's about all I needed. I was comfortable. I didn't have any major problem, but I know a lot of nights I didn't crawl into my sleeping bag. I slept right on top of it. I couldn't bear the thought of crawling into a sleeping bag.
How do you power up your fans?
Well, they are USB powered. And I have two Blue Yeti power banks, and I'm amazed at how little energy those fans use. I would think something that moves a blade like that or whatever would use a lot more energy, but they really don't. They were very efficient.
Yeah.
And a great way to keep cool.
Yeah. Very good. Well, as you know, I use a fan too. I only have one going. And it's just a USB. It's an O-Polar. I think it's like an 8-inch or 9-inch. And it's got a high and a low. And the high really puts out good air. And I have it blowing right on me in the evening. And, well, of course, in the summer, I run it all the time. Mm. And it was a 24/7 running my fan. But and even once I got to... I went to San Francisco, then I went to San Jose. Well, San Jose is inland, so it's a little bit warmer, and it got hot there, but it was nice just to kind of take a break from the beach, and then I would go like to Santa Cruz. But even in Santa Cruz, I used my fan just to keep the air flowing, and yeah.
It makes it comfortable,
right.
I would assume.
So how else? Is there any other tips on how you stayed cool this summer?
That's about all I needed to do. But you have some things that you like those, what are those things you put around your neck?
Chill Pals. They're Chill Pals. And they're just like neck gaiters. And they're made out of a special material that really is a cooling piece of material. But you have to wet it. So I wet my Chill Pals and kept them around my neck so that the air would hit it and cool off my neck.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then they also make a Chill Pad. It's a special material. It's sort of a new kind of a chemistry that they make these. It's almost, when it completely dries, it's almost like a cardboard. It's very stiff and thick and cardboardy, but once you wet it, it super absorbs water and it has this cooling effect. It's amazing.
I bet.
But you know what I use those for mainly? Is I would wet those every morning. It was one of the first things I did. And I would lay them, they hold water. And I would lay them over my very expensive power stations.
Ah.
Because heat is the biggest destroyer of a lithium battery. Excessive heat. Don't let your phones just lay in your hot vehicle, things like that. Well, people say that, but for nomads, they live in their vehicles. So we have to have a way to keep them cool. And I would lay the pads, I have two of them, I'd lay them over my Jackery. Now, if I knew that I was going to be in there for a while and I wasn't going to be running any air conditioner or anything like that, I would actually, or I was going in the store, I'd actually stick other things like my Bluetooth speaker. I'd kind of move it towards my Chill Pad that was wet and move it towards that. Or if I was taking one of my phones in, I have two phones, I'd put one phone kind of under the pad just to keep things cool. So that's one way I kept my lithium batteries cool.
Yeah. And it's very important to do that. Because, as you said, that'll shorten the length of their life like nothing else.
And a Jackery 500 is $500.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Jackery 240 is 240. I see a pattern there, don't you? Yeah. Sorry, Jackery. Power banks.
So the bottom line is, there are ways to keep cool that, it would be nice if it was 72 degrees and pleasant all the time, but that's just not realistic, especially in the summer like we had all over the country, as far as I know. Looking at different weather reports and so forth, it was hot everywhere. So
yeah,
nomads had to do something to try to combat that.
Well, there were days when I was in Reno and also when I was in San Jose that I literally wet my clothes. I would take my shirt off and dunk it in my bucket of water and then put it on. It was uncomfortable putting it on at first, but then it would just keep me cool.
Not evaporation, right?
Right, yeah. Evaporation. And I would wet my hair down too, put it in braids and wet it down so that the air would hit it. And sometimes if it was, especially in Reno, I'd have to do it a couple times a day. Mm. Just wet things down. And then I have a really good spray bottle that I could spray myself down again. And if you stand in front of the fan or going outside, then you've got a natural fan. You've got air blowing out there.
Yeah.
I spent a lot more time this summer outside when I was in Reno and San Jose. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of the ocean or what, but on the West Coast, especially close to the coast, San Francisco and Santa Cruz, the wind in the afternoon is always blowing. Thank goodness. Well, it even did that in San Jose, didn't it?
Right.
There was a nice breeze blowing each afternoon. So thankfully, that kind of kept the temperature bearable anyway.
Well, I'm going to say something about that wind that can be in Santa Cruz or San Francisco especially. There's sand in there also.
Ah.
And it kind of went under my sunglasses, kind of whacked my eye, the corner of my eyes every once in a while. And I know it was because the wind was blowing and there was little pieces of sand in there.
Sure.
And it was pelting I'm thinking of actually getting sunglasses that have the side protection also. I really need to look online and get some of those.
Well, and you could wear those just when the wind is blowing like crazy and
right.
Protect your eyes from whatever.
And where are we going this winter where the wind blows with sand?
Oh, God. Quartzsite, Arizona.
Woo! Yeah.
We get high wind warnings in Quartzsite, Arizona that if you don't batten down the hatches, you've got a problem.
So, Paul, thank goodness that this summer is over, the heat. And so, what do we got to look forward to here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure. Let's see. If our podcast airs on Thursday, the 23rd of September, the day before is the autumnal equinox. Fall begins. So it's going to get cooler.
Yay.
Slowly.
I'm excited. Let's go.
But yeah. Fall is essentially here, and so the leaves will be changing, and in those places where they have fall and pretty leaves and so forth. But it's going to be starting very, very soon.
Oh, I am so relieved to hear that. And even though I've been cool, on the coast, I'm really looking forward to autumn.
You bet.
And moving away, although I love the beach, but moving into some other areas. How can I even say that I felt trapped at the beach? How could you even? But in a way, I don't want to leave yet because I'm tired of the heat in my van.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But one of the closest places to us, we'll see, was Reno. It's beautiful autumn in Reno and during October. So we'll see. We'll let you know if that's where we end up. Who knows where we'll end up.
Right. That's the great thing about being a nomad. You can decide where you want to go and go, as long as there's not a forest fire or heat that'd drive you crazy. So it's wonderful.
Now, I remember, let's just do a memory here. In January, end of January, you get up in the morning in on BLM land in Arizona. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling cold. That's what I'm feeling. I'd go out there with two sweatshirts and a jacket
on. Oh my gosh, we're freezing. And, you know, so it's like, you're...
But... Yeah. The good news is, the reason that we go to places like that is that when that sun comes up over the eastern mountains, it doesn't take long, and I'm taking the jacket off, and then I'm taking another sweatshirt, a sweatshirt off, and then a second sweatshirt, and it's very comfortable the rest of the day, as long as... Yeah. We don't have high winds, and if the high winds are coming,
can
just get in your vehicle and hunker down and play solitaire for the rest of the afternoon.
Well, you know what we can do is hunker down and do a podcast for our friends here.
There you go.
We can even put the microphone out there and listen to that wind and listen to the pelting of the windshield out there by the sand. Oh, my gosh.
It is amazing, and the I'm sure that I still have sand or grit or whatever it is flying through the air from Quartzsite, Arizona, inside this van.
Oh, there's yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Yes. Which I was thinking, here's another offshoot, side note here, but I was thinking today, Paul, that as nomads, and even for Abby, I wonder how strong our immune system is. We are traveling across the country and we are picking up bacteria and viruses and germs that our bodies are being introduced to, and we rarely get sick. I wonder if nomads, our immune systems are like uber strong.
Well, I think that there's a good chance that we pay closer attention to our health. We have to.
Yes.
I mean, if we're down and out, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You can't travel, you can't, and it's just tough.
And we're in a small area. It's doable, because I've not felt well, but you're in your small van, and it can make it difficult. And it's much easier, I think, traveling with somebody. That you can have a little bit of backup,
right,
you know, that
right.
I think that's something that you and I didn't experience before, but now we can back each other up a little bit
exactly.
If we don't feel well. But I'll bet our immune systems are top notch, because we're being introduced to these things and our body's getting used to them, and it has to get used to them.
And they build up whatever it is they have to build up to fight
right.
those things off.
Right. So, well, that was just a little side note, something that I had thought about. I thought I would mention it. But, yeah, I'm anxious to go to Arizona soon. And, not during October, of course. But, so we have another month. But I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep, you are correct. And it'll be nice. I mean, I've only been here a couple of weeks, and the beach is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I love it, love it, love it. But I'm getting ready for a change of scenery and see what else there is to see around. And there's so much beautiful country out here that I can't wait to go investigate and check out what is out there.
Yeah. We're not ready to leave the beach area yet. It's been so nice just watching the waves and hearing the waves. And Abby is so much more relaxed.
Oh. She does tons better.
She's not
here.
Even pulling when we take her for a walk. So that's been really nice.
Yeah, that's for sure.
San Francisco was fun. Oh my gosh, but good to just be on the coast. And we'll be moving around, and you'll be with us as we move.
You bet.
Basically, well, I want to thank all our friends out there and listeners for joining us during our little discussion about sayings and about staying cool in the summer for nomads. And I want to mention that every Thursday, we're going to bring an episode to you.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we'll bring interesting, fun, and sometimes funny, sometimes serious topics that we can discuss.
Here's some lyrics by Bob Seger that really mean a lot to me. Stood alone on a mountaintop, staring out at the great divide. I could go east, I could go west. It was all up to me to decide. Just then I saw a young hawk flying, and my soul began to rise. And pretty soon, my heart was singing. Roll, roll me away tonight.
Well, roll me away too, and roll you away. Until next time, friends, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week, and so will you.
Be cool.